Proverbs 35. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, believers whom I love, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Would you turn your Bibles this evening, please, to James chapter 5, verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our service tonight in studying God's Word. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. You cannot really get the total picture here in James 5:19 without understanding that the verse does not stop there. It goes into verse 20. We're coming to the close of the book of James. We'll be in this book next Sunday, two sessions in the next Wednesday night, and then that will conclude our study in this book of James, where we've started about 31 months ago. So we've been in this book a long time, as you all probably know, and the people have been asking me now where we're going from here, and I have just simply said, I'm not going to tell you right now. So we will be announcing that in the near future. You look forward with me to some magnificent studies in coming days. Our purpose for being here tonight, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon those things which are eternal. And in order to do that properly, we have to be in fellowship with our Lord. We cannot be in fellowship if we do not claim 1 John 1:9. Which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours to focus our minds upon eternal truths. Not anything in this world greater for us as believers than for us to have vertical viewpoint. To be able to see from a divine vantage point, to see as God sees. And that is impossible unless we are in harmony with our Lord and study His Word and find ourselves saturated with His thinking. We realize tonight how important it is for us to accept Your Word and study Your Word diligently. And we are thankful tonight for the fact that You care for us and love us. You bless us all richly. And in these moments now, we pray that we will be able to receive spiritual truths for our souls. That we'll be able to take the things we're learning and apply them to our lives each day. We realize the importance of being very practical in the utilization of spiritual truth. We pray that we will realize tonight that if we do not have the utilization of truth, then we're going to find ourselves making a lot of mistakes in life. And these mistakes are so sad in that we're not fulfilling God's plan for us. So help us tonight again to realize how important it is for us to be here and to open our minds to Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our reading with James chapter 5, verse 19. You see this verse on the screen, and you see it on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. It's been amazing to me tonight to be able to see that the songs we've been singing, the first two songs, if you look at the second verse of each one of those songs, which you may or may not pay a lot of attention to, the songs had the word wonder in it. And that's the word that we find in James chapter 5, verse 19. You'll see it on the screen, and so let's look at it carefully. The first word is adelphoi mou, which translated is my brothers. Or if you want to do it literally, brothers of me. The word mou is a personal pronoun. The word brothers is adelphoi, comes from the word adelphos, A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S, which is the nominative masculine singular. What we have on the screen is the nominative masculine plural. So we have my brothers. We've already analyzed this, so I'm not spending any time now, but there is the word if. It's a contraction of what is normally found in the protasis of a first-class conditional clause and the apodosis of a first-class conditional clause. The first-class conditional clause has epsilon iota in the protasis, alpha nu in the apodosis, but when we have a third-class conditional clause, those two come together, a letter vowel is dropped out, and you have what we have here, which is epsilon alpha nu, and it's translated if. When you have that kind of word, it goes along with a verb in the subjunctive mood. And so that's the reason why I'm looking now for the word that is found in the subjunctive mood. My brothers, if anyone among you errs. We're going to stop for a few moments now on the word err, E-R-R. And you can see that it is in the plural, and so I'd like for you to underline it in your Bible or wherever you're taking notes. Underline the word E-R-R and understand that it is the word translated in the plural, errs. Errs from the truth. We're going to spend a few moments looking at that word because I want you to see that that is a word that's primary, of primary importance to our service and our thinking tonight. If you'll look at the Greek word, err, it is P-L-A-N-E-T-H-E. I'm sure that most of you remember by now that you have in the Greek language an E, which is called an epsilon, and you have an E that's called an eta. We have two etas here. We have P-L-A-N-E-T-H-E. The reason why I'm emphasizing this is because I want you to see where this word, how this word is pronounced. It is the word P-L-A-N-E-T-H-E, planete. Just by saying that word, you probably have something that's coming to your mind, planete. And from this word, we get our English word, planet. And so, when you get down to the verb of this particular word, it is P-L-A-N-A-O. What's interesting to me is, and we'll spend just a few moments on this word, the word is planete, planted. And if you look up the word planted, you will discover that it is described as wondering. It is described as an astronomical object that orbits a star and does not shine with its own light. I had to look that up because I wanted to give you a correct definition for the word planted. An astronomical object that orbits a star and does not shine with its own light. It has been described also as a celestial body that orbits a star. It is referred to as a planet, of course. And James 5, 9, the word air, here is plural, is the word planete, which is the word planet. A planet can be described then, if you want to put it this way, as a wanderer, a wandering object. Now, that's interesting to me because it lets me know that the Scriptures is saying here it is possible for a believer to be a wanderer. I've analyzed this long enough to let you know that this next Sunday I'm going to be dealing with that word wanderer. It's a good word. It's a word that we need to see as we come to the close of the book of James. If you'll notice, please, it says, the brothers of me, if anyone among you errs, and the word is used as an aorist, passive, subjunctive verb. Why do I say that? Because of the fact that it's important for you to know that this writer, by the Spirit of God, is saying, we need to know that it is possible for believers to wander, to go astray. And so when we look up that word, you will discover it means to get off course. It means to lead away from the truth. It means to go away into error. It means to go astray. It means to roam about. It means to wander. It means to be led from the path of truth. It means to deceive. It means to deviate from a correct path. Oh my, are you able to see all the synonyms, all the various emphases that are given there? Now notice, please, how the word is used. I've already discovered that it's a subjunctive verb, which means that it's emphasizing the potentiality of a believer getting off the track. It's an emphasis upon the fact that a believer who loves the Lord can make a mistake in life. And I've discovered this, and you've discovered this, that a person who gets away from doctrinal presentations, in other words, if they make a doctrinal mistake, it will lead to practical mistakes in life. And that's the reason why I want to call this doctrinal mistakes lead to practical mistakes. That's the title of the message tonight. Can you see why I put it together like that? Now, it's important for me to share with you the fact that a lot of people make mistakes, and they're not even overly concerned about being attached properly to the truth. That's sad. Now, that's not true of you here tonight, and some who may be listening to this message by way of the internet. I'm saying to you that there are many people who love the Lord and love the truth, and they are aware of the fact that the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, what do I see here? I see that the word is used in a passive voice, which says that it is possible for believers to be the recipient of wandering astray. Now, let me go back and give you these synonyms, because some of you, a moment ago, as I gave them so rapidly, you were not able to write them down. So what does the word planao, err, mean? It means to get off course. To get off course. You might want to write that one somewhere. It means to lead away from the truth, or to be led away from the truth. It means to go into error. It means to go astray. It means to roam about. It's like that wandering object around the star. It means to be led from the path of virtue. It means to deceive. I know I'm going rapidly again, and you're probably not able to get all of these, but it's important for us to see some of the synonyms that relate to the word error, getting off track, deviating from the correct path. And what is amazing to me is the rest of this verse, when it says, my brothers, the brothers of me, if any one of you, and it is true that this is going to be happening, you're going to get away at times. You're going to be like a sheep wandering from the fold. Matthew 18:12. You'll be like a sheep that's getting away from God's plan. 1 Peter 2:25. Aorist tense, there'll be points of time when you'll do that. You'll do it mentally. You may be able at times to find yourself going off in the wrong direction with your tongue. There will be times when you will overtly go off the track. In other words, mentally, with your tongue, improper use of the tongue, improper use of the body, There are various ways that you and I will deviate from the correct path. But this is an emphasis upon deviating, going astray from the aletheos. Look at that word, aletheos. And it is the word truth. One of the most beautiful words in the scripture is the word truth. It is actually the last word, as I said last Sunday, it's the last word that Jesus said when he was dying on the cross. You do not find this in the New Testament. You find it in the Old Testament when it tells us what words Jesus will be using as he's closing out his life, physical life, on the earth. And he says, and the quote, the scripture is not quoted in the New Testament, but it's an Old Testament verse that says, O Lord God of truth. And so the last word that is used is a Hebrew word that is taken over into the Greek, which is this word, aletheos, which is the word truth. What a beautiful word this is. Now, I want you to be able to see something. This is very, very important for us tonight. Someone said that last Wednesday night, the preacher preached 5 sermons in one message. And at that time, I was aware of the fact that it was a lot of information. And on Saturday morning, as I told you Sunday, last Saturday morning, since Joyce is teaching at this particular point of time, then on Saturday morning, we go back and on the internet, we listen to the Wednesday night message. And I'm always wondering what she's going to say when I say the last amen. I don't hear what you say. Please don't say what you say. But anyway, I'm always waiting when I finish the message from the internet. And I'm sitting there at my desk. She's sitting at her desk. And I wait for the last little comment that she makes. Well, I shouldn't say the last little comment. It's the first comment she makes after my last comment. And at that time, she said, oh my. Well, I knew that I was in trouble then. I don't think she really said that. But what she said was, there was so much information, and the people were not able to get all that information. It looks to me like that you had about 4 or 5 messages, and you were trying to get them all out at the same time. Well, when I came here and told you that, I got a response from someone who said, yeah, they thought it was 5 messages too. All right, just in case you didn't get some of it, you're going to get it now. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm asking you, if you will, please, to turn your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. You see it on the transparency on the screen before you. It's a magnificent verse of Scripture that goes along with what we have in our passage of Scripture here in James 5, 19. I'm fully aware of the fact that verse 19 is not a completed verse. Because if you don't look at verse 20, you're not going to be able to fully understand what is presented to us in verse 19. I shall repeat, my brethren, verse 19, if any among you strays, and they will, from the truth, and one turns him back. We've not gotten to that part, but one turns him back. Verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is an amazing passage of Scripture, a tremendous amount of information in verse 20, and we're not getting that tonight, but I want you to see that there's an emphasis in the last part of verse 19 that says, and one turns him back. It's amazing when you study various theologians in relationship to this particular passage of Scripture. It is not my desire tonight to give you information from various theologians. I want you to see, though, that the last part of the verse says that we as believers have a responsibility to help other believers, especially those who have, for some reason, gone astray. They've wandered. They've left the fold, so to speak. We have a responsibility to them. And this particular passage of Scripture says, and one turns him back. Many theologians, when they get into verse 20, talk about the emphasis on the one who turns the one back, and they give an emphasis on the one who's turned back. Now, I need to tell you that we have in this verse of Scripture an emphasis on two things. One is that we have a responsibility as believers to help those and guide those who have gone astray. And the Scripture has something to say about those who've gone astray. So all of that is presented to us, of course, in verse 20. In the light of what I've just said, turn back is a word which means to help someone be restored. If you'll stop with me before we get into the verse that's on the screen, let's look for a few moments at the word turns or converts in verse 19. It is the Greek word epi, E-P-I, S-T-R-E-P-S-O, strepo or strepso, S-T-R-E-P-S-O, is a word which means to turn. When you look at all of this with the prefix E-P-I and then the word, it means to turn around, to turn or change, help someone have a change of mind, to turn back. And some can translate, and I put it in here, convert. Now, let's go to our verse, Colossians 3:10. We have a responsibility of understanding that we have been changed and we become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Scripture says, and having put on the new man. I could spend a lot of time on each one of these words, but let me just quickly say to you that the word having put on the new man, new is the Greek word naos, that is translated here, N-E-O-N, the way that we have. And we have put on is the Greek word enduo, having put on. Now please notice something that we have by looking at this particular verb. It is an aorist, middle, participle. When you come to a participle, I'm sure that all of you know by now that it is a verbal noun or a verbal adjective, which simply means that it not only has the conjugation of a verb, but it has the declension of a noun. Does that make sense? We have a Greek student back there. It makes sense to him. Okay, the rest of you don't pay attention to it. That's all right. But I want you to see that this is an aorist, middle participle, having put on the new man. What God does for us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He gives to us His righteousness. We call that imputed righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. All of our righteousness is but filthy rags. A believer is a recipient of imputed righteousness, which simply means that at the point we believe, God works the miracle, and Jesus Christ comes to take up His abode in our individual lives. This, to me, is one of the most beautiful things that you could ever think of. You mean that Jesus lives within? You mean that Jesus took a person who is depraved and wicked and ungodly and transformed that person? You and me? Yes. Therefore, we're the recipient of imputed righteousness. What happens when we look at John 3:16? It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Because you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, He has accepted us. He is living within us. That means that we have the assurance that we're going to be with Him throughout eternity in a place called heaven. When God loved the world, He loved the world unconditionally. He loved the world, like we would say, impersonally. There we see impersonal love. I'm slowing down my tempo now to let you see what I'm trying to get over. I've said this before, and I'm not sure that you heard it, or if you heard it, whether you really understood it, or if you heard it and understood it, and now it's being repeated and you appreciate it. When God loved the world, He loved the world not with a personal love. In other words, He didn't have a personal relationship with every individual. It was an impersonal love, which is an emphasis upon the fact that God cared for mankind. And when Jesus Christ became our Savior, and we became the recipient of imputed righteousness, then there's a different relationship to God. There is a personal relationship with God. And having put on the new man. Aorist tense at a point of time. Middle voice. The subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. What participation do we have in salvation? The only participation we have is that we realize that we need a supernatural being. We need someone outside of ourselves to do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. That's exactly what happened when you realized your condition of being an ungodly, lost, on your way to hell sinner. And when you realize that, you realize that by means of the fact that the Holy Spirit acted as the agent of the human spirit. And you, at that point of time, were desirous or perceptive and wanting some help. In other words, the Holy Spirit acted as the agent of the human spirit until you became a recipient of the human spirit that changed you from dichotomy to trichotomy. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Beautiful, magnificent. Wonderful. And when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Spirit worked a miracle of regeneration, and you were moved from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. And now, because you're body, soul, and spirit, you have the means by which you can comprehend and understand things in the realm of the spiritual. What a beautiful, beautiful word to receive here. And having put on the new man. It's a participle. So the circumstances are being presented to us here. It's a nominative, masculine, plural. Aorist, middle, participle of enduo, E-N-D-U-O. Let's go on. And having put on the new man. The next part of the verse is being renewed. Please stay with me. Being renewed in full knowledge. You know why I appreciate this wonderful church family? Because we have people who come into this auditorium who have a desire to study and learn God's Word. And they're more interested in learning God's Word than they are anything else while they're inside of this building. And that's why we're here. Our purpose for being inside this building is not to be entangled with outside activities. It is to come in here and to move those outside activities out of our mind and heart and get into the truth. Because we're fully aware of the fact that if we do not have truth in our souls and we're making doctrinal mistakes in life, we're going to be making a lot of practical mistakes in life. The reason why we have so many confused and perplexed and bewildered believers today is because they are choosing to live their lives, and they're making mistakes in the realm of the spiritual, in the realm of the truth. And when you're making mistakes in the realm of the truth of God's Word, you're going to be making a lot of mistakes in the realm of those practical aspects of life. Does that make sense? Of course it does. This is the reason why we need to see this verse. We need to see, first of all, what God has already done for us. He's moved us from a lost condition, unsaved condition, to a saved condition. We're saved by God's grace. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Now look at this. And being renewed. Okay. Now I'm going to cheat a little bit because I've already written myself some notes. If you look at this word, being renewed, look at it. A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-O. And a K-O-O. And a K-O-O. Well, let's break that down. Let's take the middle part out. K-A-I-N. That's the word kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. That word means to make new. It means to grow up. It means to have new strength. It means to have new vigor. Ana is a prefix at the beginning. And it's in essence saying, it's great to be renewed. Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired. You ever get tired? The older I get, it seems like I get tired at the close of a day. And sometimes I can be so tired and have the evening meal and get revigorated, renewed. And I'm ready to go. And usually this is what happens. We go right on to about 11 o'clock at night. Usually we don't go to bed until 11 o'clock at night. But then about that time, I'm tired again. Someone asked that lady who was working in the house, cleaning the house, do you ever do anything fast? She said, oh yes, I get tired fast. You didn't get that. Some of you are so tired you're not even paying attention to what I'm saying. Can you do anything fast? Oh yes, I get tired fast. You got it that time, didn't you? Okay, now where was I? Oh, renewed, reinvigorated. Look at this. Being renewed. Don't go with me any farther right now. Let's stay with that word. I love to wake in the morning. Renewed. Don't you? Have you ever gotten up in the morning when you felt like you really needed to have another night's rest? You just felt like you'd been stomped all night? That could happen. But the point is, it's good to be renewed. And that's what this is saying. It is telling us now there's a way that you and I as believers can be renewed. Let's stay with it now. Renewed in full knowledge. This is not gnosis. This is epignosis. Do you see it? E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-N. When I got into this verse, I found so many things that were so beautiful that I felt like I needed to spend an hour or two with you and then study some more and spend a week or so. Full knowledge. How important it is for you and me to be serious, dead serious, about knowledge, about God's Word, about learning, about making practical application of the truths we learn. Please, please, my friends, don't find yourself cold and indifferent toward those things which are eternal. Full knowledge. To make new, to grow up, new strength, new vigor. Transformed to be like Jesus. And when I looked at this and came to those last words in this verse, I saw the word image. And I analyzed that for a while, and I studied it. And you know what I discovered? It's the word icon. Have you ever heard of the word icon? Someone's on their knees now. Icon means likeness. Transformed into His likeness. To have a blessed state of mind. A representation. And I wrote myself a little note for you. Jesus is a picture of what the Father is like. Jesus is a picture. I shouldn't even say a picture. Jesus is what the Father is like. In Colossians 1:15, Jesus is called the image of the invisible God. An icon. What is an icon? You computer people. An image or a representation of something else. It's amazing to me to be able to see that God is saying to us as believers, we're not going to be what we ought to be unless we have an understanding of spiritual truths. And the spiritual truths that we learn will lead us not to be making mistakes in practical living. Being renewed in full knowledge. The image, in the image, according to the one creating him. Do you remember this verse of scripture? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable and perfect and magnificent will of God. Last Wednesday night, I handed you out this Romans 12:2 passage. So when you're leaving tonight, if you can find it back there, pick it up. If you didn't get it last Wednesday. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed. And I spent quite a bit of time last Wednesday night on that word transformed. It is a Greek word, metamorpho, a beautiful word from which we get our English word metamorphosis. The change of a little caterpillar, the larva, the pupa, the various stages that makes a beautiful, magnificent butterfly. And I gave information related to the subject of renew, revive, and restore. Be not conformed to this age. Be ye transformed. How are we going to be transformed? By the renewing of the mind. And you'll find the word A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-E-I. Renewing of the mind. That you may prove what is the will of God. What is the perfect will of God? Well-pleasing is God's plan for us to utilize truth so that we can be practical on a day-by-day basis. We'll be back in verse 20 next Sunday and next Wednesday night. My brothers, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him around, brings him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save, deliver his soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. Some people get so confused in that verse because of the words that are used, like death, soul, and multitude of sins. But we'll get into all of that next Sunday. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful this evening that we are privileged to look at these magnificent verses of Scripture. Help us to understand the importance of being renewed in full knowledge utilizing truth day by day so that we can beautifully, magnificently represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I in you and you in me. How fantastic that is. So help us to be good representations of our Lord. And for those who hear the message who never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may this be the very moment that they will realize that the only way to heaven is through the person of Jesus Christ. Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.